Hey, on the opening segment here for the Boston Prayer and Share Hour, we have a list of things that I talked about because Amy wasn't able to be with me on the night that this occurred. The first topic was the bass player for Big Daddy Weave passing away.
Yeah, that was a really sad situation.
We also looked at, and I say we, it was just me, I looked at the impact of fasting.
We've seen several miracles through fasting and prayer.
I think you'll enjoy this segment because it does talk about the miracles involved when fasting takes place. We looked at the ACLJ and the victories that they had in 2021. And finally, socialism. Is it cool?
Are you kidding me?
Well, a little.
Yeah, well, good, because it is absolutely not cool.
All of those subjects and maybe just a little bit more on the opening segment of the Boston Prayer and Share Hour.
Lots of current events going on. Lots that I'm not even going to even bother with. But there are so much every single day that goes on in our world. You know, I'm thinking about when I was a kid growing up. We had the Republic newspaper, and we had, in my house, CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite. That's the affiliate that we watched, was the CBS affiliate. And that's how we got our news. There was no Fox. At that, earlier in my life, there was no CNN. We heard about what was going on around the world in those old traditional ways. Now, something happens at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time on January the 4th at 7:16. They can know about it on the other side of the world and possibly know about it before the clock strikes even a minute later. So we've got so much news that happens every single day and so much news that we would have never, ever, ever even known about, needed to know about, wanted to know about. And sometimes it's just news overload. Would you agree with me on that? I believe it's just news overload. Wanted to mention, I don't know if you know who the group Big Daddy Weave is. It's a Christian, contemporary Christian artist, and the bass player, who is the brother of the lead singer, and I don't see his name right at this second. I can't think of his name. The one that you see and associate with Big Daddy Weave is the brother. This is his brother, Jay. And he passed away due to COVID complications. But he had many, many, many things wrong with him. It wasn't just that he got COVID and passed away. I think I read where he had had some diabetes issues, and I believe he had to have one, if not both, lower extremities amputated in the past. And and we know that folks in those kinds of conditions are very, very susceptible to the worst part of COVID. Their body has a hard time fighting it. And I believe one of Jay's brothers is Mike. I don't know if Mike is the lead singer. I actually hadn't planned to even talk about this. But as I clicked across, I saw it and remembered that that took place. Whew. got an article posted at the place that I'm putting my news articles that I want to remember, and I'm going to start sharing that with folks really soon. It's just a place where you can go and see what it is that I'm reading, and it uses sources that you don't see any CNNs there. You don't see any ABC. Well, I have had a couple of ABC articles, usually for how bad a journalism it is. But it's really kind of an interesting site. It kind of helps me filter out some of the stuff that I really don't care about. And whether actually, that's a big deal, because there's a lot of news I don't care about. This is an article about three pastors explaining the life-changing impact of fasting. And in light of a world desperately searching for hope in the midst of chaos, we asked three pastors why they look at a fast to start New Year 2022 as being critically essential for churches and personal lives. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, Matthew 6 or 5 verse 6 says. Matthew Marr, a former professional soccer player, would start the beginning of each year from the years of 2011 to 2014 fasting for 21 days, get this, while in prison. As Jason Romano of Sports Spectrum wrote, Marr's career spanned a couple of seasons, but on March the 1st, 2009, Marr blew out his knee and his career was over. Just 6 days later, a decision Marr made changed his life forever. On March 7th, 2009, Marr was driving drunk when he hit and killed Hort Kapp, H-O-R-T-K-A-P. Marr was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison in January 2010. And while serving the 4 years and 7 months, he returned back to the foundation of his faith that he grew up with his family. Fasting and praying became a part of my weekly rhythms. I would fast for 21 days, not only about what God was doing in my life, but I wanted to consecrate the first part of the year, those 21 days to the Lord. And I know that many, many different congregations fast in January, and a congregation that Amy and I are a part of, in addition to the Father's House, Come As You Are Ministries, we have been there. It'll be 5 years here in just a few months. And so this would have been at least the fourth year of us fast. It is the fourth year of us fasting. We're doing it a little bit different. We've always done the 21-day fast. They call it the Daniel fast. And what you do in the Daniel fast for 3 days, you eat nothing. You just drink water, juice, no dairy, no coffee with any caffeine or anything like that. But this year, instead of everybody fasting for 21 days, we're having individuals take each specific day. So theoretically, we could have 21 different people that are being a part of the fast. And I would guess that we would probably switch back next year. I don't know. I've not talked to Rob about that. But I would think that that might be the case. We've done it that way. It's just, COVID has so many things that are messed up, with people getting sick and then their immunities are down, and we need COVID gone, don't we? But fasting is an important part. And let me get back. 3 days of liquid only. Starting the fourth day through the 21st day, then you can have fruits and vegetables, nuts, different things of that sort. You can Google search Daniel fast and you can find out all about it. A lot of places use that. It is good. It is not easy. As a matter of fact, it's very, very difficult. Some people can't fast for 21 days. Medical conditions keep that as not being able to do. You know, when you're looking at fasting and you have diabetes issues, you know, have to have medications at specific times with certain things, you know, you should always check with your doctor on how to do that. But fasting is an important part of the Christian life. And I never really worried a whole lot about that until probably when I became part of Come As You Are Ministries. And I appreciate the steadfastness that Rob and Dawn and the congregation show on that. Because you're not just praying for things that are going on that day or that week, but you're praying for the congregation, for your family and friends throughout the year. And through the years, we have seen many, many things that have been affected by the fasting and praying that took place in the January before. So people might think, well, what is the point of doing a fast? Well, this person says, I want more of God. The fastest way to encounter more of God at a deeper level is fasting, Malachi O'Brien says. Matt Kai of a multi-site Inspire church in Hawaii said that he often calls upon his church to fast, especially at the beginning of the year. Fasting recalibrates the heart of the church. When the heart of the church is recalibrated and realigned with God, with God's plans and purposes, there's nothing that God would not do for the church. It brings you closer to God. It's not about not eating food. It's about replacing food with time and prayer. If you just go without food and don't pray, you're just making yourself hungry. If you fast, and in the way we're going to do it this year, I took 3 Thursdays. It's 3 weeks, so I took all the Thursdays of the fast, and I'm going to fast for 1 day, and because we're just doing 1 day, we're not going to include the fruits and the vegetables and the nuts and all that. It's going to be a 1 day liquid fast, and you can think that that's pointless. I can be a Christian without it. Well, first of all, it is not pointless. I wish I would have concentrated on that and given it more involvement in my life sooner than I did. And it does affect things. It does affect things. It's not just your normal prayer life. It's you're giving up food in order to be in contact with Jesus. And I've got to believe that that makes Jesus very happy. As a matter of fact, there's different places in the Bible where the writers of the Gospels, the Apostle Paul, talk about fasting, and it doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast. So, you know, it's not too late to do that. It's, you know, just because it's kind of like with New Year's resolutions. We like to think, well, we miss our New Year's resolution for 1 day, we can just forget about it. Now, I kind of preached on New Year's resolutions, and I'm not a big fan of them, but let's say you're planning to read the Bible through in a year, and you think, well, I missed a day here, and I missed a day there. I'll just wait till next year and start it. Don't do that. Catch up on the days. I mean, I've got a plan that's out that I've got publicized a little bit, and if you're not doing it, go to edbostonministries.com and you'll see the post up there. It's actually one of the most simple reading plans that I've ever seen. It's a different topic each day of the week. Ones like the Gospels and the Old Testament, the minor prophets, the major prophets, history, you know, and it encompasses over the course of the year the entire Bible. And that way, I know sometimes it gets a little on the boring side if you're just reading straight through and you get into Leviticus and you're having a hard time. This way, you get into Leviticus, but it's just one day a week when you go through there. And the next day, you may go into the book of Romans. And then you may go into Jeremiah the next day. It's well done. The person that put it together, his name is on the graph that's there with the instructions on how to read through the Bible in a year. But go there. And again, the guy did a very good job. And just start where you're at if you need to. Don't say, well, I can't join this in progress. Why can't you? Why can't you? I mean, I've had that mentality before. There's actually a Bible that is out that it's done by day. And so in that process, you read a little bit from the Old Testament, a little bit from the New Testament, a psalm and a proverb every day. Those are there every day. And that's the way the Bible's set up. So if you know it's January the 30th, you look at day 30, and that's where you're at. If you get behind, you can pick up anything like that you can do to be in God's Word. It's not the only thing you should do, because reading the Bible and studying the Bible are two separate things, and we need to know the difference, but both of them put us in the Bible, and then we need to absorb what we're reading. So these three pastors, again, Come As You Are Ministries here locally, many, many different churches start the year out in a fast, and not always do they start on January the 1st. The one that we're participating in doesn't start until this coming Sunday, the 7th. So, and you know what? You can decide to fast in the middle of June if that's what you feel led to do. Again, God's Word doesn't say if you fast, but when you fast. Let's look at some more news here. You know that we keep up very close on ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, and they put out an end of the year story called Reflecting on the Victories of 2021 as we charge forward into the new year to defend life, religious liberty, and the Constitution. And it's written by Jay and Jordan Seculo. Another challenging year is drawing to a close as we enter 2022. Everyone at ACLJ is already preparing to take on new challenges as well as continue to fight the ongoing battles we've engaged in defense of life, the Constitution, religious liberty, the persecuted Christians around the globe. And boy, they hit right there on topics that are very near and dear to Amy and I. So much persecution. Was reading that ISIS is basically went from being almost out of the terrorism business to back up and running full-fledged, and the latest country they've infiltrated, or whatever the proper word there is Uganda. And so they are going very, very strongly in Africa. And, well, And they do things that, well, if you were here last week, I told a story, and by the time I got done with the story, I didn't even feel like talking anymore. So I'm not going to go back to that. ACLJ has worked hard to stop the radical left from manipulating the COVID pandemic to push its radical agenda, particularly when it comes to the unborn. While many non-essential, non-emergency personnel medical procedures were drawn to a halt, the abortion lobby pushed hard to keep abortion clinics open for business, demonstrating once again that it doesn't actually care about the safety of its patients, or even its own staff. More abortion issues that they followed up in. Religious liberty seemed to fall under heavy fire this past year, and you know that as well as I do. Churches being closed. I read a story today about a mega church in Denver that has closed its doors and is doing everything online. They're selling a building that is appraised at over $12 million. Selling it, the people that are buying it are going to turn it into a huge, huge subdivision with a 5-acre park. And, you know, from somebody who does an online service, in addition to a service here in the Father's house, it is discouraging to see and to think that church is going to be just as effective doing everything online. The Lord will make a way. I know He will. But to me, that is discouraging. Their legal team got together, and the girl had gotten into trouble because her professor rejected her essay on a historical figure because she had chosen to write about Jesus Christ. And because of the work of the ACLJ, she was able to persuade the school officials to let her proceed with the topic of Jesus. And the list goes on and on. You know, I was mentioning something, I can't remember who to or even what the circumstance was, but talking about how not only do people not seem to like Christians, they seem to, it's just gotten bad to be a Christian in America. And I can't hardly believe that I'm saying that. You know, there is a younger generation, and it's not all them, and it's not just them, but they think that people that are 50 and above don't know anything. Now, I remember being a kid and thinking that I knew as much as my mom and dad. Sometimes I thought I knew better than they did, but guess what? It didn't come out of these lips. It may have stayed up there in the mind, but it didn't come out of these lips. We were taught respect. And that's one thing that is direly missing in the world today, and that's the topic of respect. You know, I promise you, in my 59 years, and 4 months, 4 days, you know, whatever, that I've learned a thing or two. I've made a mistake or two. I've had a success or two. And hopefully I've learned from all of that. And when you've got a generation that thinks socialism might be a cool thing, well, first of all, we know it's not a good thing. And it would only be cool for so long. until they had you entrapped and you couldn't get out of socialism, it wouldn't be cool anymore. Because the money would start to run out. The rich in socialist societies always get what they need. The middle and lower class become peasants, and most of the time barely have enough food to eat. So while it seemed good for a while that the government took care of everybody, all of a sudden now we can barely take care of our own family on having enough food to eat. I realize that. I've learned that. I've studied history and know that socialism never, ever, ever works long term. Never. And if you want to pass me off as being some old fart that don't know what he's talking about, that's on you. But for me, I'm not just going to grow to the age of 59 and shut up. No, I'm still alive. And as long as I have breath in my lungs and the ability to speak and to speak out, I'm going to let you know what I feel and what I believe. And that the things that I heard a person, it was mentioned, I don't can't even, that they were sorry they were ever a conservative. Like it's a bad thing. How can being conservative be bad? Most Christians, most, not all, are conservative. You know, I know where that kind of thing comes from. It comes from people who don't want to be real Christians. They just want to be Christians in name only, and Christians that want to do what they want but call themselves Christians at the same time. That's who it comes from, and that's not what they want out of life. But let me tell you this. It's not about what we want out of life. It's about what God wants out of life. It's about what God not just wants for us, but expects from us. We got a generation that wants to say, you can't judge me. I don't have to judge you. The Bible tells us that we're judged by the fruit that we bear, by the things that we do that are obvious to other people. I don't have to judge you for the sins that you commit. God's got that under control. He's got judgment day lined up for every one of us. But what we know is that we have to line up with God's word. When I say we know that, I'm talking about the Christians that follow the Bible. When you tell me that that doesn't pertain anymore because time has passed by and the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you just lost me there. You know, God didn't change what he expected out of us. The Bible is not set up to be, I would say, reinterpreted, but you know, there are interpretations that come out, and as long as they stay strict with what the scripture is about, if they make it easier to understand, I don't have a problem with that. If they have to take out and pick and choose and eliminate and insert, then I got a problem with it. But we need to know that what God expects of us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if that makes me it's being attacked as a old conservative, an old conservative Christian, whatever, you know, how do I want to say this? I'm comfortable with my position with Jesus, because that is between just me and Jesus. I don't need anybody to tell me that I'm okay with Jesus. But if I'm messing up, I need somebody to help me out, to, as Amy said earlier, cover my back. And that's not covering your back to hide things or to make excuses for things. That's covering your back to say, hey, maybe you're a little off on this one. You know, when I look and when I preach and talk about certain sins, any sin in the Bible will keep you from your relationship with God. You can be forgiven for all of them. But when I talk about them, people think that there are the certain, quote, bad sins that I hate people for. And that's just not true. It's just not true. First of all, I want to go to heaven. I want my wife to go to heaven. And I want each member of my family, my mother. When I say mother, I'm saying plural because I'm including Amy in this. Our mothers, our brothers, our children, our grandchildren, our extended family, our friends, our neighbors. You know, I want all of those to be in heaven. I probably want them to be in heaven more than some of them want to be in heaven. But I have to take care of me first. So I'm comfortable in my relationship with Christ Jesus. Have I arrived? Absolutely not. I've still got lots of work to do. I'm thinking the average age on my mom's side of the family is somewhere around 85. And that's how I'm planning for right now. I won't be here till I'm 85. If God takes me sooner, heaven is a wonderful place. If he leaves me here, I got work to do for another 25 years. But we, you know, I talk about so many news stories that I don't even care about, that don't even make any difference in anybody's life. But I do care about people. You know, that's why we do this. We don't do this because we make money. I mean, there are people that donate to our ministry, and that all goes into the ministry. Amy and I take no paycheck for what we do. Maybe someday we will. Maybe someday we'll be blessed to do that. I would love to be able to get Amy into the retirement from her work that she does now and into ministry full time. But right now, we don't make a penny off of what we do. You know, we switch things around a lot of times so that we can be here at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we're always going to have the setup for Sunday evening until we switch it to a different time frame. But as far as in-person church, that's set. We started the Boston Prayer and Share Hour as a prayer service on March the 18th, 2020, getting close to 2 years in. And we started it being on every single day. Said that we would continue till COVID was over or until God led us differently. And there's times where we have to change our plans, and there's times where we change the times or have to cancel what we do here. But we like what we do. We feel that what we do is important. It's important for us to share what God wants us to share and has called us to do. I'm nobody special. I have no college degree. I'm not a theologian. I'm a mouthpiece is what I am. Some people might say I'm a big mouth. But I'm a mouthpiece for the Most High God and Mighty God. And that's what he called me to do. And I need to do that to the very best of my ability. And if that's going through news stories, then I need to go through news stories and point out the good and the bad. And I need to do it in a loving manner And that gets me in trouble sometimes because I'm human. When people that are anti-Christian do things, I have a hard time turning the other cheek. I'm just going to be honest and real. I have a hard time turning the other cheek. But I got to get better. And I'm hoping that if I can show you that I can do it better, that in turn, you will take that and use that in your life. If I take and share the scripture with you, and again, I'm just a simple person. I try to keep my teachings simple. If you want a deep theologian, you've probably heard me say this 100 times. I'm not the right person to teach you theology 101, much less theology 401. But I don't share God's word because of anything that I get. If I help lead somebody to the Lord, if better stated, if the Lord utilizes me to help lead somebody to Him, I don't get brownie points. I don't get, you know, if I get to 25, I automatically get to heaven no matter what. I don't get that. There is no such thing like that. I grew up in a loving and a caring Christian environment. And I want other people to know what it's like to have Jesus in their hearts and lives. And that's why I do what I do. And I don't know where all of this is coming from. I've been having a difficult time with current events. I just have. And the reason I have is because nothing makes sense. I talk with my twin. My friend, not my trend, my friend Trevor, quite a bit about how nothing makes sense to anybody with, I would say, any common sense, but it's past that now, makes sense to anybody that knows anything about the world and how it's been forever. I'm not talking about new technology and things like that. I'm talking about just the way you feel about your fellow man. You hate somebody just because of what way they vote in an election. And I got to check myself on that too. But, you know, you look at, this is an example I wanted to share. I'm not going to get into it, but so much of the media, the politicians, all down through, look down on those of us who have not had the vaccine. I've never, ever heard one time anybody being concerned that me, as a non-vaccinated person, can get COVID from a vaccinated person. I have never once heard that from anybody other than Amy and I talking about it and me talking with some other people. It's like it's impossible to happen, and it's not. And that's the kind of things that I'm talking about that just make no sense at all. It's not just COVID. It didn't just happen with COVID. It's been happening, since the beginning of time. It's been happening ever since Satan tempted and Adam and Eve did not resent the temptation of that wonderful piece of fruit in the garden. We watch TV and we see commercials. And we'll turn our head to each other and say, "Are you kidding me? What are you? Oh, you didn't. No." There's probably a certain grunt or groan that Amy hears from me. I know there is from her that I hear from her that are just like, kind of like what Roberta's little saying is, put your, telling God to put your, put your arm around my shoulder and your hand over my mouth. That's kind of like, we see a commercial and it's like, we need to do this.
I'm gonna stand in a world that's breaking sin for a truth unchanging. I'm not ashamed, I've considered the cost. I'll be right here at the foot of the cross and stand.
Going into the second segment here on the Boston Prayer and Share Hour, we're going to be talking about some things that, well, kind of get you going a little bit, Amy. How about this? Vice President Harris compares January the 6th, 2021 to Pearl Harbor and 9/11.
Have mercy.
I called her a nitwit myself. How about this good news? The beast that was the structure, statue, whatever, at the United Nations building is down.
Thank the Lord.
And finally, we have healthcare workers who are heroes for month after month after month. And now that the jab is out, they get fired because they haven't taken it.
Ridiculous.
Enjoy this segment.
And I'm going to just get right into this. I actually
make everybody mad right off jump.
Absolutely.
Right out the chute.
I actually shared this someplace, and my, let me see if I can find it. I got to title it myself, and also made the comment myself. This didn't, the comment and the title are mine, not the place I got it from. So the title I come up with was, Kamala Harris has lost her mind.
So is the president. So now we have a president and a vice president, and neither one of them can find a collective mind.
This might top Joe Biden. I said, this nitwit just, and I'm not going to tell you the rest of the sentence because I want you to hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
Or
the vice president's mouth.
No, I was thinking a whole nother end of the horse, but.
So let's.
Roberta's in a reclined position so that she doesn't get too upset.
Okay, well, we are going to go back to here and hit pause.
Well, we got to have sound.
And we are going to get sound. We might even turn this up a little bit.
Strap in, Roberta. You might just launch into outer space.
And we are going to... There is full. Here we go.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021. On that day...
Let me just leave that goofy-looking picture there where I've paused it and say, yes, the nitwit just compared January the 6th, 2021 to Pearl Harbor and 9/11. Can... Is there anything that we can say about that? That, I mean,
Pearl Harbor and 9/11.
Now, you and I were talking about this earlier, and 2,977, wasn't that the number? 2,977 lost their lives on September the 11th. On December, or on January the 6th, 2021, three people lost their lives. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second and say, what happened on January the 6th of last year was deplorable. I hated watching that on TV. There was no excuse. You know, no matter how you like people, don't like people, where it is, that should have never, ever happened. Never should that have happened. But three people died that day. Two of them from natural causes, a heart attack and a stroke. Now, you can say that the situation may have caused those. Okay, I'll give you that. And the other person died of a gunshot wound. An unarmed person died of a gunshot wound from the police, the Capitol Police.
2,403 sailors died, and 1,000 people were injured at Pearl Harbor. 2,403 sailors and 1,000 others were injured at Pearl Harbor.
So we did some math. I took three and divided it by 3,000 because we rounded 2,944 up.
Because we didn't even account for the others that died from the side effects and from the cancers and the other, the black lungs and the diseases that they got from fighting.
Suicides from,
right,
from PTSD.
From, right, and from all the other things that were caused from 9/11 and the problems that arose because of that, from, you know, swallowing the airline fluid or the airline gas, all of that. That wasn't accounted for. That was the ones that were killed that day.
And the number came at 3 divided by 3,000 comes up to 0.001. That's like 1/100th of 1%. And this nitwit that you're looking at behind us, and I don't know, somebody might turn us into Facebook. This may get us, you know, they can't get us fact checked because
we'll be put in Facebook jail again.
If they fact check us, they'll know that we're telling the truth. We're not telling anything that's not the truth. If we make a mistake or made a mistake, then point it out to us, and I promise you, I will come back and I will correct it and I will apologize. But we are telling the truth. Do not ever, anybody, compare something to Pearl Harbor and 9/11 that's not on that level.
Not even remotely close to that level. Remotely close to that level.
I probably better take this off the screen because people might turn off thinking, oh my gosh, what's the background?
Well, this woman is not a nitwit. She's an idiot. Just downright.
Let's listen to a little bit more.
I was not only vice president-elect, I was also a United States senator. I was here at the Capitol that morning at a classified hearing with fellow members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Hours later, the gates of the Capitol were breached. I had left, but my thoughts immediately turned not only to my colleagues, but to my staff, who had been forced to seek refuge in our office, converting filing cabinets into barricades.
Well, we're not going to watch
chaos at home.
Time out.
Settle down with family movie night on Prime Video.
Hey,
I don't know about you.
Well, these extremists who roamed these halls tart.
Okay. We're not going to listen to any more of that.
Ronnie said, my God, what's up with the monster on your TV?
See, that's why I said, actually, I glanced over and seen him and thought, well, that might scare people off. Not Ronnie, but the...
Well, I'm surprised he didn't know we're here shooting at our television.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, again, I do not want to downplay what happened last year, a year ago today. It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever watched in my life.
Mary says she's nauseous.
Well, is she nauseous just by looking at her or the topic we're talking about?
Probably all of the above. I mean, how can you not be when it's that bad? When you compare Pearl Harbor and 9/11 to what happened that day, I mean, there's no comparison. One person was shot, and she shouldn't have been.
And
she was unarmed, and she said she was nauseous from listening to her. She is sickening. The woman that was shot was should never have been shot.
You know, here's the deal. The person that was saying that is like the person that's in charge of the crisis at the border. And there have been more deaths at the border than there was last year, a year ago.
Absolutely.
Just saying. It makes me so mad I can't hardly see straight. When that was my exact response when she sent that to me, and I played just about what we listened to is about all I could listen to. And my response was, I have a hard time not cussing when I listen to her. That. It's not the unforgivable sin. But boy, as an American, it's tough to forgive her for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when she doesn't ask for forgiveness. She thinks that she was justified in saying that. Now, I'm kind of going overboard with the forgiveness and blasphemy and things like that. Because some people would say, well, she didn't even sin. And, okay, you can believe that. She spit in the face of our Democratic Republic, is what she did. Some people thought I was going to say democracy, but we're not a democracy.
No.
We're a Democratic Republic. And, oh.
Well, Ronnie says it's funny how the left can destroy cities and no one bats an eye, and the right does one thing and it's the end of the world. And that's pretty much how they've looked at it. They've just think that it's just the most horrible thing in the world because the right has done. And this is the, a lot of people say these are the radical rights. Well,
those people were.
Well, some of them were, absolutely. Because they did things that were unlawful. But it was, I mean, they didn't do anything that was so drastically bad. They didn't take anybody's lives. They didn't burn down any monuments. They didn't tear up things. They did things they shouldn't have done.
Well,
I mean, I'm not going to bat for them and saying what they did was okay. Because they did it in a wrong manner. But they didn't burn down buildings.
We can just go with, they should have never breached the Capitol. That, if that would have not happened, then we wouldn't be talking about it today.
Right.
had all there been was protests and people out on the streets doing what most protests or, you know, it wasn't even until they started to breach, it wasn't even a riot that was going on.
Right.
There were a lot of people that were at that place that all they were doing was their constitutional right to peacefully protest.
Absolutely.
And then a group of nitwits that were outside caused everything to, you know, there's no way, and Amy agrees with me on, no way that you can condone what they did. And it should have never happened. But to compare it to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor?
That's what the sickening thing is. Comparing it to two things that were so devastating. And if so many lives were taken, that to me is just, that's heartbreaking. And I mean, that her comparing the two, it couldn't be any further wrong. That's almost a treasonous statement.
I mean, that's where I was going with the blasphemy, you know, as in treason. It's just, it's disgusting.
It is. It absolutely is.
And we've got some humorous comments, but you know, I think Mary just nailed it. What was it exactly that she said? I'm nauseated?
Yeah. She says, I'm nauseous.
There.
Just listening to her made her sick, which is completely understandable. She's sickening to listen to watch, everything.
See, we probably wouldn't have talked about the topic hardly at all tonight. We would have probably made reference to it. We would have probably said it should have never happened. It is a black eye. I mean, it's a black eye in our history. But there's a lot of black eyes in history. But to compare it to maybe the two biggest tragedies in our country's history is just more than I can deal with. It just really is. Let's go ahead and find something else to gripe about. I mean, you know, I was going to share earlier, and then I forgot.
Beth's got an urgent prayer. Just heard from Ruth's daughter. She's on her way to the ER with heart symptoms by ambulance. She asked for prayers.
We'll pray right now.
We need to do.
Ruth, right?
Yep.
Father, in the midst of the things that bother us and irritate us and just frustrate us to death, we get a reality check and know that life has continued on, and part of life is what's going on with Ruth right now. Part of life is what her daughter did, and that's asking for prayer. And part of life is to lift those that need and can't do it for themselves up to you, Father. So in the name of Jesus, right now, this second, we pray that the heart conditions will cease. The negative things that are going on with her body will stop, and that her health will be reinstated and recuperated. Father, this is another one of the people that we pray for that we don't even know. But our friend Beth knows her. And Father, it's humbling to come before you, asking and expecting you to do what you do best. And that's be an awesome and mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, earlier I was going to share, and we got off track somewhere, that I would like to use as a motto for 2022, not as in changing our overall motto of do the right thing, but use the saying, life is good, because there's a lot to complain about. And we need to be reminded that in the midst of everything that's turmoil, life is still pretty darn good. I mean, you know what made me think of it? Sitting there eating liver and onions. That's what made me think of it. But not just life is good, but life is good because God is good. That's why life is good. We have a home being prepared for us. And I don't know about you. You may like where you live. We love where we live. But this is not our home. This is just temporary.
Yep.
And so you might say, well, you go from griping and complaining to saying God is good and life is good. Using that statement is to help keep me in check. And I hope that it keeps you in check as well. We have got another story. With a picture.
Yes, yeah, I like this picture.
There you go.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's up there now.
There we go. Look at that picture.
This picture right here is one of the big reasons why I want to be able to show things, because we could not describe this the other day in a manner that did it justice. What?
That's just a revolting picture.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just as revolting a picture as what was up there just a minute ago. Almost the same thing.
I'll just keep right on going. There is good news now about this picture.
It's coming down?
It is down.
Praise the Lord!
And let me give you the background. This sculpture was in front of the United Nations building in New York City. And if you look up in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, this sculpture almost to a T is described in those two end time prophecies. And I mean, I remember one of the things I said, this is serious stuff, folks.
Absolutely.
And you can look at that, and it's serious stuff. But, let me give this other background. The sculpture came from a city in Mexico that, I forget, this is supposed to represent safety and security or something to that effect. I forgot exactly. I think that's right, though. And now that it has been taken down, there was obviously a huge uproar.
Good.
Over this. And
in the two books, it's describing the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it describes. And if you read those two, it describes that almost to a T. With the wings and the teeth and the mouth and the face, it describes it perfectly. And it's describing the beast.
Well, let's read what the good news is. A statue displayed at the United Nations in New York, which was likened to the end times beast from the New Testament's book of Revelation, has been removed. As CBN News reported, the artwork known as the Guardian for International Peace and Security, so I said safety and security, it was peace and security, was first displayed in November outside the UN's Visitors Plaza. I can't pronounce this name, but a spokesperson for the Secretary General of the United Nations told CBN News the sculpture was not permanent and its removal was planned. You think that's true?
Doubt it.
The statue you refer to was a temporary exhibit organized by the Permanent Mission of Mexico to the UN. It was taken down as scheduled and anticipated on 20 December, the person said.
Why would they put it up for a month?
Well, I don't know, some pretty elaborate work to...
To take it up and then take it down for a month.
I mean, I have to plead ignorance on not knowing if that's something that they do on a regular basis. But it sure doesn't look like it's something easy to...
remove.
Yeah, or put up.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it's in several pieces or what, but I would have thought they would have to have had some kind of a crane or something to lower.
Yeah, Mary said just to say that they could get by with it.
So, there... it's not good news that it ever went up in the first place, but it is good news that it is gone now.
It's very good news that it's gone now. I just hope it doesn't appear someplace else.
Especially not in the United States.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't want it to appear anywhere, and I don't wish bad things on any other country, but we've got enough problems in the United States without putting the beast on display. We put the beast on display at the United Nations. Now let's dissect that a little bit more. Part of end times prophecy is what? One world government. Correct?
Absolutely.
The United Nations.
Yeah, Roberta said Pastor Locke was going to preach standing on its head. And he was. He was going to go there. And
if you look at it, and I've got it here where I can see, I'm not going to put it back up there. He could have done that.
Yeah, he could have. It was big enough. He could have. And he did have plans on doing that.
One world government, the beast from Revelation and Daniel, the United Nations, in the United States. I don't know.
I don't believe in coincidence.
Well, I believe in some coincidence, but not in things like this.
All comes way too close to being a plan.
Well, when you take in everything else that's going on, in the last days, right will be wrong and wrong will be right.
Roberta said, thank you for not showing it again. Yeah, there's only so much of that some people can handle. That, one of those.
That's true. Where are we at? Man, time has been... I told you.
Time's flying when you have a plan.
I told you. Now, we know that the COVID numbers are going crazy right now. I don't know how anybody can debate whether or not they're going crazy right now. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, she's got a coworker that is off right now with COVID. I was supposed to get my hair cut today. My barber has COVID. So it's not about not thinking there's COVID, but what sense does this make? Mayo Clinic fires 700 unvaccinated workers. Lawmakers point out these are the heroes who risked their lives for us up until this point.
And they worked all through the major pandemic, the major part of all last year. All of those workers worked through every bit of that. And now they want to fire them because they won't take the jab.
Well, and not only that, there's a shortage of healthcare workers.
They won't take something that does not help them. Doesn't guarantee they're not going to get it again or get it, period. And they fire them. Because I know people that have had COVID, got the shot, got the second shot, got the booster shot, and now has COVID again. Does that make sense? So they've had to, and I had COVID. Refused to get the shot. Took my brother in a car that had a temperature of 103 with COVID, had confirmed COVID, from Columbus to Community South in a car, closed up, told him, take your mask off. You cannot breathe. Take your mask off so that you can have an easier time. Drove him to Community South. My brother ended up dying. Guess what? I did not end up with COVID again. I had immunities because I had already had COVID. I had natural immunities to it. And I was covered by the blood. I prayed all the way up there. I was covered by the blood. That was my immunities, was the blood of Jesus Christ. But I didn't end up with COVID. And if anybody in this world was going to get it again, I would have or should have, with all my health issues and everything and being cooped up in a car with a man that had 103 temperature.
In full-blown COVID.
Full-blown COVID. And ended up dying with bacterial pneumonia. I didn't end up with COVID again.
You got lots of people talking and they're showing up or... and so all of that to say 700 people lost their jobs in the midst of an outbreak with a shortage of healthcare workers. Now, we've talked many times about what the mandates and all of these different things are. If that's not about control, I don't know how you can define it any other way.
Absolutely.
You would think that if the crisis is as bad right now as they lead us to believe, and I don't know, I'm not a medical professional. I don't know if this is as bad as when we were at the peak, you know, in 2020 and all of last year. I don't know. But if it's as bad as we're told that it is, they can't afford to fire 700 people.
Absolutely not.
And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving treatments, to giving service. I mean, just taking care of all the people that are, you know.
They're so short-handed in hospitals and in doctor's offices and everything now. How can they get rid of that many healthcare workers and still be able to provide the healthcare services that are needed for the people that are needing them? Because backups in hospitals now are ridiculous. Ridiculous. So if they're so short-handed, how can they afford to fire 700 heroes now? Mm-hmm. If it's as bad or worse than it was. Quote, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense, period.
It does not.
Especially when you factor in, these were the same workers that worked all the way through before there was a vaccine, since there's been a vaccine.
And put their lives on the line to do things that nobody had any clue what was even going on, and did all the footwork to begin with. Well, and now you're pointless. We know we're pros at what we're doing. We know everything that's going on. We don't need you now. You got to go.
Well, I bet you every...
How does it work?
I bet you every one of those 700 people have a close colleague that died of COVID.
It's possible, but you know what? There's a pediatric doctor in Indianapolis that stood up and he said, you know what? I have to answer to God first. I have to answer to God first. I don't have to answer to anybody else except for one, and that's God. And good for him. You know what? Good for him.
The clinic received some pushback from its home state government over its vaccine mandate. Last month, 38 Minnesota state lawmakers signed a letter to the hospital asking it to drop its rule, according to NBC News. In the letter, the lawmakers said they had heard from a large number of highly concerned Mayo employees about the clinic's vaccine policy. This top-down, heavy-handed, all-or-none employee policy does not fit the reputation or image we know the Mayo Clinic to have. And in the last days,
Right's wrong is right. Nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Nothing makes sense about anything. Period.
Nothing. Absolutely. You know, we were talking earlier as well about, you know, all the stimulus money that the government's handed out and how everybody was like standing waiting in line for their, you know, where's mine? The government has to give me mine. And, you know, it's free money. It's free money. What do you think about your free money every time you go to the grocery store and it costs you twice what it did before? What do you think of the free money that you got from the government when you go to the gas station and put gas in your car and it costs you twice what it did before? What do you think of your free money when you pay your electric bill and it costs you twice what it did before? Where do you think that money comes from? This government has put us in a world of hurt because we're so far in debt, it's ridiculous. Nothing in this life is ever free. It's going to come from somewhere. And the inflation is ridiculous. I just paid $2.48 for a gallon of milk that a year ago or more
was
about $1.48. And I about fainted because it's like, why is this keep going up and keep going up and keep going up? Gas is ridiculously crazy high. I mean, it's insanity anymore. It just, you know, people are, a guy that I talked to night before last is having to sell his truck because he said it costs me about $200 in gas a week because it just takes so much fuel and gas is so high. He said, I'm going to have to buy a little tiny car just to be able to afford to drive. Mm-hmm. And he has spent a ton of money because he's worked and worked. And, you know, it was a truck that he was a younger guy and he's, you know, it's been his pride and joy. And now he has to sell it because he can't afford to drive it. And it's just, it's crazy. Because everybody, well, the government owes me. No, the government doesn't owe you. And somebody said, well, they were the one that shut down the country. Well, you're right. They did shut down the country. But you know what? There's also programs to help you. They didn't mean for them to turn into career opportunities. You know, welfare and food stamps aren't career opportunities.
Well, we talked even, too, about the money that are going to parents that have children 18 and under or whatever
right. Those
ages are. It's been going on long enough now that people have gotten used to that income. That's part of what they plan on each month.
Right.
And what's going to happen then when that goes away? At some point, it has to go away.
Well, it's going to have to stop. I mean, goodness, it can't go on forever. Mary Beth just said, it's going to get to a point where the money's not worth the paper it's printed on. Well,
it's pretty close now.
Right. You know, food stamps and welfare, are wonderful, wonderful programs if they're used in an appropriate manner and they're used the way they're supposed to be used and they were meant to be used when they were made. They're not made to be career opportunities.
Yep.
They're not made for generational after generation after generation of families to live on. They're just not. It's not supposed to be made that way. They're supposed to be made for families in crunches and crisis times, not career moves. And so when the country was shut down because of the COVID, that's when those programs should have been put in play and used for that benefit. And instead, the government just starts throwing out money and putting us deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And you know what? Our grandkids, great-grandkids, and their grandkids, if Jesus tarries, they're going to have to be paying for it.
They'll have to default. And
absolutely.
And then China will own the United States.
Absolutely. And that's almost to the point where they're at now.
Yes. Well, let me say this. The hits just keep on coming. Normally, I would stop and cut it off here, but I'm on a roll with this stuff tonight.
Rock row.
The headline says, another glaring example of cancel culture. Facebook blocks conservative children's book publisher. And wait till you hear what the bad stuff is here.
Oh, heavens.
Facebook has permanently disabled the ads of a new conservative children's book publisher offering the biographies of President Ronald Reagan, economist Thomas Sowell, and Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Now, that will tell you, those are three very conservative people. The social media giant claimed that Heroes of Liberty violated its rules against low quality or disruptive content.
Oh my goodness.
They were putting out books about Reagan, Sowell, and Barrett.
Low quality content.
I mean, there is actually very little controversial about those three people. The only controversy is that liberals hate all three, but it's not like Ronald Reagan was a slave owner or that Thomas Sowell, who is African-American, by the way, set a bomb and killed 50 people. You know, it's not like any of that. It's just that they don't like conservatives. And I'll just paraphrase some of the company had invested almost all their advertising money into Facebook ads. And when they stopped that, that froze their account. And nothing that I've read said that they would get their money back.
Wow.
I don't know. Facebook wrote, this ad account, its ads, and some of its advertising assets, which that would be money, are disabled because it didn't comply with our policy on low quality or disruptive content. Okay. Now, remember, this was a permanent until it wasn't permanent.
Permanent until it wasn't permanent.
Facebook reinstates conservative book publisher's account after major backlash. It was permanent until it wasn't.
There you go. There's that squeaky wheel, and they got some oil, so good for them.
After facing intense scrutiny, Facebook reversed course, reinstating an account associated with a conservative book publisher, Heroes of Liberty. I think people ought to just flood Heroes of Liberty. And support them. If they've got a donation page, you know, even if you go and donate a dollar, guess what? If a million people donated a dollar,
that's $1 million. I mean, that's where that squeaky wheel comes in at.
And good for them making a big deal about it.
Absolutely.
Putting it out there to be known. And guess what? I didn't read this on regular mainstream media. It didn't come off of Facebook. It was in CBN, a Christian news site.
Wow.
Okay. There are several other things that I could talk about. Judge sides with Navy SEALs challenging Biden administration DOD vaccine mandate. ABC News anchor promptly fact checked after suggesting. I want to read this one. Because I don't know. I'm on a roll. I don't want to stop. ABC News correspondent George Stephanopoulos and some panelists on ABC News this week appeared to come down with a sudden case of amnesia on Sunday. While discussing the January 6th riot at the Capitol and the prevalence of political violence, conservative commentator Sarah Isger was forced to remind Stephanopoulos that one must only look no further than 2016 for another example of one political party questioning election results and engaging in violence in Washington, D.C. Let's see, that would have been when Trump beat Hillary. And remember, they didn't want to acknowledge that Trump was president because the Russians helped get him in. There was no proof. Oh, as in they say now, there was no proof that the election was, there was no proof of that. As a matter of fact, as time went on, it was proven that there was no proof. And where is, where did it go? Read more, that's what I did. Stephanopoulos noted that 40% of Republicans in the survey approved of violence. Well, I don't believe that. That was a liberal survey. I don't know of any Republican that approves of violence as the first means of. But the conservative explained, one must look only to Hillary Clinton questioning the legitimacy of Donald Trump's 2016 victory for the last time prior to 2020, that one political party openly doubted electoral legitimacy. You look back at 2017, look at an ABC poll on whether Trump was legitimately elected. It was about 6 to 8 points off of this one right now, meaning what happened last year. Not far off. Hillary Clinton was asked in 2017, was Trump legitimately elected, point blank? She did not say yes. She said she had questions. You think Democrats, if Donald Trump runs again, if Donald Trump wins in 24, you think Democrats are going to think he was legitimately elected? You got to be kidding me. And she's saying all this to old Steffi.
Oh, Steffi.
And meanwhile, here's where I was one. Meanwhile, on Inauguration Day 2017, violence plagued the nation's capital as protesters, angry over Trump's victory, rioted. According to NBC News, that's no conservative bastion right there. Police arrested more than 200 rioters that day. Multiple police officers sustained injuries during the violence. Several businesses were damaged, and one limousine was infamously torched. You would think that they're talking about a year ago today. No, they're talking about a year ago, 2017. I mean, this day in 2017, not a year ago.
Right.
This day in 2017. See, that conservative commentator is what we've got to do. We've got to point out the hypocrisy, and maybe it doesn't do anything, but we can't just let it go.